כן, אוכל נראה לי חמש. There's a tremendous chiddush in Parshas Vayikra. It takes up a significant part of the parasha. And the chiddush is that you have to bring a korban for an aveira that was done by Shogeg. The Torah spends almost half the parasha dealing with aveiras by Shogeg. The first half of the parasha deals with korbanos that are primarily in the Dava, the Eilus, and the Shlomim, and then you have korbanos chayvas. The person has to bring a korban chatas. Why? Bishkoga. He has to bring an Hashem Tolo, he has also a certain degree of Shkoga. He has to bring the Beis Din brings, the other brings, that's the Melech, all the parashas. Half the parasha was about Kabbanas B'Shayeg. And then you have Me'ilah B'Shayeg, other things B'Shayeg. So many Kabbanas have brought B'Shayeg to Mechaper. So the assumption of all of these Kabbanas is that you have to be Mechaper. That you need a Kapara, even for a Chet that was done B'Shayeg, which is really a little bit of a striking idea, it's a lot of a Chiddush. The Rambam has that same idea in the beginning of Chas Tshuva. The Rambam writes to do a chet b'shayeg also requires tshuva. The notion that you require a kapara, even b'shayeg, is really, really a striking one because at the end of the day, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I really loved the Rebbe. My love is Torah. I really did not want to eat chaylev. I goofed. So why do I have to be mechaper? I goofed. So the chalavort is, and it's the aside that Rabbi Chanan develops, we'll quote Rabbi Chanan a little bit later, but Rabbi Chanan develops this idea in a little bit of a different context. Now, in the midst of Torah, there are really two parts. There's mitam ha-pa'ula atzma, mitam ha-mitzvah atzma, mitam the tzivah the Rebbeinu Shlom atzma, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is mitzavah me on something, not to do something, and I violated the tzivah of the Rebbeinu Shlom. So that in of itself is problematic. Even if nothing changed to me, even though what I did doesn't have any impact, doesn't have any effect, and nothing, zero, just the mere violation of the tzivah, the Rebbeinu Shlom, that itself is very, very problematic. And that itself requires a kapara. That in and of itself is a chet. Not because any grandiose consequences happened from what I did. Just violating tzivah Hashem is a problem. One could argue that's all chatoy mar is just almost like a tzivah of the Rebbeinu Shlom, and I didn't listen to that tzivah. One could argue there's really no place for kapara if it's b'shayge, because what do you mean I violated? I didn't mean to violate the tzivah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. I didn't mean to do any action. I wasn't going against the Kodesh Baruch Hu's word. I didn't even know what I was doing. So you're talking right. You're talking nothing happened. You didn't do anything wrong. But in addition to the tzivah of the Rebbeinu Shalom, chatoim have impacts. Our actions have consequences. Now, sometimes those consequences are very, very real and obvious. So, l'moshel, if Reuven kills Shimon b'shoigeg, so I understand that there was a consequence of what happened. Shimon is dead. Whether Reuven meant to kill him or didn't mean to kill him, whether he planned to throw that axe at him or the axe blade flew off, at the end of the day, Shimon's dead. And the consequence occurred. But the Chiddush HaTorah is that there are consequences to our actions, even if we don't see those consequences. If I ate chaylev, I'm a different person. I'm changed. My neshama has now been tainted. Person eats chametz on Pesach is a different person. There are consequences to your actions. They impact on you. They impact on the world. We can't see those impacts. One of the many, many, many important lessons that we're learning, and there'll be, when Mi'at Hashem, when this Torah ends, there'll be a lot of mussar to kind of collect all the lessons that we learned. One thing we learned loud and clear, I think Dr. Berman will attest to this 100%, something could have drastic consequences, even if it's not visible. Am I correct? That short of maybe somebody who may have seen under a billion times over a microscope a coronavirus, none of us here have ever seen a coronavirus. And the consequences are loud and clear. So not just because we don't see it doesn't mean the consequences aren't there. Eating chazer changed you. Chilul Shabbos changed you. Eating chametz pesach changed you. Lashon hara changed you. You're a different person now. Not only are you a different person, but as the Rambam says, it's a different world. The Rambam describes, basically, the Rambam says, Rosh Hashanah, the world is always 50-50. We never know. One chet could turn the world to destruction. The world is a different place. The same way that the world is a different place today, in the Rosh Chodesh Nisan Tavshin Pei, it is a different world than it was a month ago. Even though, Lefira Isa Ayin, nobody could see the difference. No one's looking at the virus in the air and saying, gee, I see 5 trillion viruses flying around. Gee, it's a different world. I look outside my window, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful world out there. And yet it's a radically different world. And the same is true in the realm of chet. The chet impacts on not just me, it impacts on everybody. It impacts on the world. And we have to undo that impact. We have to remove that impact. You need a kapara. The same way that chet changes the world, l'ra, a korban changes the world, l'tov. The avodas hakorbanos have that ability to change the whole dynamics of the world. They're mechaper. They cleanse the world. Like we describe in Yom Kippur, when we finish the avodas Yom Kippur, it's a different world. The Kohen Gadol is a different looking person. The whole, everything is different. Klal Yisrael are nikiyim u'tahirim. Everything is different. Kaparas can change things, even things that weren't visible beforehand. So we can't just take the attitude, well, it was all shaking. Who cares? It was my fault, but I didn't mean to do it. Just because we didn't mean to do something doesn't mean the consequences aren't felt in the Olam Ruchni in a very, very profound ways. And therefore, kapara is necessary to cleanse, to remove, to undo some of the damage that was done. If this is true in the realm of Chatoyim, how much more so? A million times over, we know the Midah Tov is Meruv Midas Paranas. How much more so is it true in the realm of Mitzvahs? So Rabbi Chanan has a beautiful, beautiful piece where he also describes the realm of Mitzvahs. There are two components of Mitzvahs. The fact that you're doing the Tzivi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in and of itself is gevaldik. That's a cause for great celebration. It's a great schar. Just you're doing the Tzivi of the Rabban Shalom. Even if nothing changed, even if nothing happened, do your tzivoy, the fact that I'm doing the tzivoy Hashem is baruch is a good thing. Kal v'chaymer, how much more so? When my mitzvahs bring about good results, they bring about positive results into the world. Wow, phenomenal, unbelievable. Some of the positive results are very, very easily discerned. Sometimes it's Nikola Ayin. Sometimes I could see, I give a little bit of tzedakah to somebody. I see the Ani's feeling better. The Ani now has food to put on his table. I can measure what I did. There's a barometer to measure. I gave him $10. He was able to eat lunch today. Kavaldik murder. Sometimes we do mitzvahs. And can we really say there's a difference? I put on film this morning. Can I point to the difference in my neshama? Can I point to the difference in the world? Just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. It's a whole new world. I'm a whole new person. The Rambam describes in the Chos Tefillin, when a Jew has Tefillin, he becomes Muchta B'Tefillin, he's wearing the crown of Tefillin, he now becomes an Ishirei Shemayim, he becomes an Anav Yirei Shemayim, becomes a different person. He's a different Chalashem, a different Gavra. The Rav had a famous word that the bracha of Al-Mitzvah's Tefillin is not so much a bracha on the Mitzvah's Anachas Tefillin, it's a bracha on the Gavra, Muchta B'Tefillin, you become a different person. A person sits and learns Torah, they're a different person. Not only are they different, it's a different world. A world that has Torah learned it in Labrisi Yom V'Layelach Chushman V'Arz V'Sam. The Rebbe Shalom says, if they didn't in the world ceases to have Torah. So the world self-destructs. So Torah is Ma'am and it's the Olam. Famous word from Chaim V'Lajah, that's why the Rebbe Shalom created the world as a globe. Why didn't the Rebbe Shalom create a flat world? He could have done that just as easy. Could have been just as easy to have a flat world. The sun could have shone down on the entire world at the same time. There could have been no time zones. It would have been so much easier. No jet lag, nothing. You know why the Rebbe Shalom did that? Says Reb Chaim V'Lajah, just to make sure that not everybody would be sleeping at the same time. So when we're sleeping, they're up, they're sleeping, we're up. Because Torah has to be learnt every single second because the world needs it. Chaim V'Lajah didn't want to rely on the other time zones. That's why he started to practice in V'Lajah, that they never stopped learning. They had 24-7 Shabbos Yom Tov Yom Kippur. There was always a group of people who would always be, when one group went to eat the Shabbos Suda, one group was in the Beis Medrash, vice versa. Davening ended Yom Kippur, one group went to eat, next group had to learn. They changed. They switched places. Because Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvahs changes the world that we're in. So it's a tremendous, tremendous impact. So the Parsha of Vayikra that teaches us about how our actions create consequences that are not even visible to the naked eye. If we learn many, many things this year. One you saw came back to us many times called Nikra Isser. Remember, Nikra Isser doesn't require the eye. You can have Nikra Lefi HaTam, you can have Nikra Lefi Statistics, you have Nikra Lefi a lot of ways to make Nikra. So there's a Heker. The Olam HaNishamis, the Olam HaRuchni, there's a real impact from our mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, We have the opportunity to continue to learn Torah and continue to do mitzvahs. What is chus? It's already Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In the olden days, the last year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan meant the end of the Zman. It doesn't mean the end of the Zman anymore, because there is no Zman anymore. We're Lamalim and Zman now. So Baruch Hashem, yeshivas continue. Hopefully we continue. And again, we'll talk to you as we get closer to Pesach. Hopefully to continue to love the first time in the history of our yeshiva. Hopefully, Beit Hashem, everyone should be well. A Pesach Zman. Literally, but not a post-Pesach Zman, an on-Pesach Zman. Mamish, Chol HaMoed Pesach. Mamish, we can learn. Hopefully, we'll figure out the logistics of that. I don't think it's very hard to figure out. We're all here anyway. So we'll talk about, hopefully, Beit Hashem, we'll get closer. So the more Torah, the more mitzvahs, the more chesed, these are opportunities, grab opportunities for chesed. Call somebody, if you know anybody in your community who's not feeling well or wherever, anyone you could cheer up, any, give a little chizuk. There's an older person who you think maybe needs an extra phone call to give him a little bit of chizuk. Whatever you can do, if you have a particular family is struggling a little bit, pick up the phone, pick up your, text the person, pick up the phone, do something, reach out to people. People appreciate it. People really, really do appreciate it. You can do a lot of chesed. So, Baruch Hashem, give us the Adishmaya to change the world for the better. The world needs a lot of tikkun right now. A lot of not such good things are floating around the air right now in the entire world. The world needs a pickup. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is this man of Brias Olam. Either it was literally Brias Olam or it was all about Shem Dibaris. It's a new Bria. It's a new world out there. We could do a lot to bring about a tikkun, a refuah for the entire world. So keep on our Torah and our mitzvahs and keep on going chesedim and keep on just doing wonderful, wonderful good things. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Those who want to follow in at 1:30, so I'm giving the Gerush here to the Smicha guys. I think it's on the other link. I think it's not on this link. I think it's on Rabbi Stein's link from last week. Those who need it, I think, Shimon, you have that link? Someone has that link?
Yeah, I think I sent it out last week. I can resend it.
It's the same one as last week, I think, I assume. If there's any change, we'll keep you posted. And then, Amir Tzashem, tonight, I'm going to be giving primarily for my shul, but it's open for everybody also, be on this regular link. I think at 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's going to be the timing. So we're going to have almost like a little step-by-step going through the Seder, just to remind people, not all the lumdus, everything, just tachlis, how to run a Seder from beginning to end. Many people this year are running Seder for the first times. Many people were at their father's Seder and their grandfather's Seder for many, many years. They took a back seat. So you got a lot of balabatim. We're trying to figure out how to run a Seder. So we'll try to walk through Kaddish Ruchatz, Karpas Yachatz, the Rosh Prachim. So it's good for even those individuals not running a Seder this year. It's good for everybody to know. And then probably have a little more Dibri Chizik at the end of that also. So that'll be Mitzvah Shem as of now, 8 o'clock on this site. So 1:30 on Rabbi Stein's site, 8 o'clock on back on this side. Okay. I wish you have a good Shabbos. It will be well.
Oh, thank you.
Shabbos, Rebbe.
Hi, Shimon.